will begin our worship. Everybody, can I invite you to take a deep breath, because that's what I need to do right now. And enter into this moment, this space. Wherever two or three are gathered, we know that God is there also. And I am sure that counts for these online gatherings. And so let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I will now light our candles that are a reminder to us that God is indeed present with us. Hi, Amy Hubble. The Spirit of God is with me. The Spirit of God is with you, and that connects us in these difficult times. You see, we have a problem with our YouTube streaming. We will just let that catch up. So let us begin with a prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Difficult times, God, where we cannot meet in person, and yet you have provided a way for us to be in community with one another, and for that we give you thanks and praise. We pray that though this experience of worshiping you is so different than what we are used to, that we would still be nourished and fed by the word that you have to offer to us, that we would be strengthened and upheld by this virtual presence of one another that we can enjoy. And we ask that our time together would really strengthen us and fortify us for another week, that we would know that you are with us in all the moments of our days, that you would release us from fear, that you would fill us with your presence and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and this is the point at which we will share a children's message together. Jenna Cadu had asked that we would do a children's message here today, and I'm glad that she did, because if we were in church together this morning, we would be taking the opportunity to look at Jenna's artwork that was scheduled to be on our bulletin cover today. Jenna lives with cerebral palsy, and she brings us so much joy, and we appreciate, Jenna, your huge smile and your loving nature and your fantastic sense of humor. We're so glad you're part of our church community, and we thank you for bringing to our attention that on the 25th of March is Cerebral Palsy Awareness Day, and the color for that is green. And so though people may not be out and about in their green, I encourage you to wear green on the 25th to show your support, not just of our beloved Jenna, but of all people who are living with cerebral palsy. We know that God creates us in so many different ways with so many different gifts, and that we are called to recognize those gifts in one another and love one another. And so, Jenna, thank you for sharing with us the gift of your artwork. It is inspiring, as are you. At this point in our service, I will offer up our sermon for today, followed by a pastoral prayer, just to kind of give you the heads up of what's coming next. I'm following our normal worship order as much as possible. And so there will be a scripture reading at the end of today's sermon, and I want to tell you a story. It was one of those bright, crisp December mornings when I walked to the small bus stop in Zonweiler to catch the bus to the large train station in Luxembourg City, Luxembourg. The year was 1995. It was the first semester of my junior year as a student at Miami University, and I was studying abroad. The semester was drawing to a close, and I had one last place to visit for the independent project I had designed. As part of the project, I was visiting a historical site related to each of the three most well-known reformers of the Protestant Reformation. That would be Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Ulrich Zwingli. My friend Matt Mustrick, now a Lutheran pastor in Pemberville, Ohio, Matt Mustrick and I had, a few weekends before, traveled to Switzerland to visit the chapel where John Calvin preached and taught in Geneva. And from Geneva, we took the train to Zurich to visit the church where Ulrich Zwingli had preached. I am still grateful to Matt for going along with me on that trip. Strangely, none of our other usual travel companions were up for a tour of Reformation sites, and they went to Amsterdam that weekend instead. Imagine that, college kids wanting to go to Amsterdam instead of on a Reformation tour. But Matt was willing. Matt was also a part of the pre-seminary fellowship at the Campus Ministry Center back on the campus of Miami University. Yes, there is such a thing as a pre-seminary fellowship. No, we didn't have snazzy t-shirts advertising that we were members. I was so glad to not have to make that trip to Switzerland alone, because not only is Matt as funny as all get out, but he also was willing to distract the guard in Zwingli's chapel so I could sneak into the pulpit for a moment. So thank you, Matt. But alas, not even Matt could be persuaded to go to the German city of Worms with me that Saturday in December, which I could totally appreciate. After all, Worms is not a well-known travel destination. It's about an hour southwest of Frankfurt in sort of the central southwestern part of Germany. And yet Worms is where I wanted to go because it was the place where, about 3 years after nailing the 95 theses to the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, thus unknowingly setting off that which would become the Protestant Reformation, Worms was the place where Luther would be put on trial for heresy as a result of what he had written and preached about the corruption and unscrupulous nature of the Catholic Church and the papacy. This trial was known as the Diet of Worms, Worms in German, but it's much funnier in English. The Diet of Worms. It's got to be one of the funniest names for a historical event on record. But it's not a diet like we might think of a diet, you know, a means of torturing oneself through denial of one's most beloved edible treats, but rather, that kind of diet was an assembly of leaders functioning as a kind of jury and judge. In this case, leaders of the government and the church were the plaintiffs, and Luther was the defendant. When called upon to save himself and denounce what he had said and written about the papacy, Luther refused. When called upon, when given a second chance to defend himself, Luther declared, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the scriptures said, I have quoted these scriptures, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. The reason I wanted to go to Worms, of all the places where Luther had ministered, the reason I wanted to go to Worms was because of that line. Here I stand. I can do no other. I had read those words in a biography about Luther that I had read for my project, and I wanted to see the place where he had stated them. But then, when studying for this sermon, I came across new information on this whole here I stand bit. Quote, there is no indication in the transcripts of the Diet of Worms or in eyewitness accounts that Luther ever said this. And most scholars now doubt these words were spoken. Seriously? There was fake news even back then? I traveled 10 hours round trip alone to see the spot where Luther declared, here I stand, I can do no other. And now, some 25 years later, I'm learning there's no proof that he actually said that? Ugh, honestly. But if I hadn't been so enamored with the statement at the time, I probably wouldn't have gone to Worms alone in the first place. And if I hadn't gone alone to Worms in the first place, I wouldn't be able to tell you this story. This story about the way in which God answered my prayers and provided for me in unexpected ways when I was alone in Worms. Back to the train station in Luxembourg City on that cool, crisp, early December morning 25 years ago, I boarded the train for Worms with some snacks and a book I was reading for a history class called Darkness at Noon, about Stalin's Soviet Union and the corruption, deceit, and distress of living under that regime. It was a 5-hour train ride, and it was a great time to get some reading done for class. For the first few hours, I read diligently, but the book Darkness at Noon is really, really dark, and it's distressing. And so I took a break and turned to the Worms section of Rick Steves' Germany travel book. The section was smaller than I had anticipated, and as I read that travel book, I started to read a few things that began to make me feel uneasy. One of the quotes, because it is not an urban center, not many people in Worms speak English. Unfortunate, because I didn't speak any German. And then, when I looked into the attractions section in the book, there was nothing about a location for the site of the Diet of Worms. But up until then, everything had worked out on my weekend travels while I was studying abroad, and I figured they would in Worms too. I arrived in Worms in the mid-afternoon. When I exited the train station, I began searching for signs directing me towards the site of Luther's diet, but I couldn't find any. Knowing it wasn't that large of a city, I figured that if I just began wandering around, I would come across something to guide my way. As I neared the city center, I was delighted by the myriad craft booths set up for the German Christmas market, which are popular Christmas markets around Germany and other parts of Europe during that time of year. I was delighted to come across that market that is a festival of sights, sounds, and sweet aromas of the season. I stopped and looked at a few of the items that were for sale. I bought a snack, and then I continued on my way. I kept walking and walking. The streets weren't in a square grid, which, if you grew up in Northwest Ohio, you know is how streets should be, in square grids. And the more I walked, the more lost I felt. I had been wandering the streets of Worms for a couple of hours when I noticed the sun was beginning to set. At this point, I didn't even know where the train station was anymore. Somehow, I made it back to the Christmas market, but this time, instead of delighting in the sights, sounds, and sweet aromas of the market, I found them dizzying and blaring and nauseating as they mingled with my anxiety that was now just about to overwhelm me. Suddenly, Luther and the Diet of Worms faded to the background, and my A number one priority became getting back to that train station so I wouldn't miss the final train out of town that would take me to Luxembourg City, where I would get on the bus to Zandweiler and return to the safety of my home away from home there.